Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Samech Bet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Michael Franco in honor of the rabbi, Tzkelem Mitzvot. Today's daf has been dedicated to Ilu Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden. Amen. We are beginning the new Perek, the sixth Perek, Perek Hadar. And we begin with the Mishnah. Hadar im ha'akum b'chaser. O im mi she'enu modeh b'ayruv. Hare ze oser alav. The Mishnah begins by saying that if a person lives in a chatzir, now we learned that those people that live in a chatzir, in a courtyard, they're different residents. In order for them to be allowed to carry in the chatzir, which is a common area, they must all join in erubei chatzirot, which means they take like a piece of bread from each one of the homes, and they place it in one of the homes, and now it's considered they're all one resident, and therefore they're allowed to carry in the chatzir. Now, min haTorah, they can carry in the chatzir without any adjustment, because it's enclosed. But the Hachamim felt that since the chatzir that's shared by many residents looks like a reshut harabim, because there's traffic of the many people, so therefore they necessitated erubei chatzirot. Our Mishnah now teaches us that even if one of those residents is an akum, is a goy, so also he has the ability to osir the Jew, the gaber, the chaser. For that matter, somebody that does not admit to the concept of eruv, that she says, for example, a kuti. Kuti are those quasi-converts that came in from the king of Ashur, when he brought them into Eretz Yisrael, into the Shomron area, and their conversions really were not L'Shem Shamayim, they were called Gerei Arayot. They only converted because of an attack that God sent against them of lions, and really these Kutim did not believe in the tradition, specifically the rabbinical laws, like Erubei Chaserot. So for that matter, in this case, they're like a goy, and therefore, they also have the ability of Kuti to forbid the Jew in the chatzir. Okay? So that says, and hareze oser alav. Good. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, le'olam eno oser ad shiyehu shnei Yisraelim osrim ze al ze. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's opinion is, yes, the goy can affect the Jew in the chatzir, but you need at least two Jews. If there's two Jews in the chaser, meaning two residents of Jews, and a goy, then already the goy can be osir. But if it's one Jew in the chaser and one goy, the goy is not osir. So we will have to understand the nature of this mahloket between, actually, the Tanakh Kama we're going to see is Rabbi Meir. Some even have the text in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir. We're going to see what the mahloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is. Rabbi Meir holds that one Jew and one goy, the goy is osir him in the chatzir. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says no. You need at least two Jews in the chatzir, then the goy or the kuti will affect him. But as I said, we will see that in the Gemara, the reason. Mishnah continues. Amar Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel said, Ma'aseh, basiduki ehad, Shehaya dar imanu b'mavui b'Yerushalayim. There was one case where there was a tzaduki. Now these tzadukim are Jews that also do not believe in the Torah Shebaal Peh. However, as we're going to see from the story, they don't have a deen of an akum. They're not going to be treated like a goy, nor are they going to be treated like a kuti. These over here, as she says, Tzeduki is Yisrael, v'nehepach leminut. These guys started off Yehudim, but then they turned to minut is you want to call it not atheism, but the point is they became crooked, their hashkafa, their ideology. And they do not admit to the oral law. Kevandi Yisraelu, now the Hadush is, they're considered Jews, Yachol lebatil l'shuto b'lo shum sechirut. She means like this. One of the ways of joining everybody together is either collecting bread from everybody, or if a person renounces his rights in the Hatzer, so he's out. So now he does not osed everybody else. A tzeduki has the ability to renounce his rights. As opposed to the case that we learned of the Kuti and the Goy, which the Gemara is going to tell us clearly, renouncing his rights is not enough. The only way to alleviate the Goy's residency in the Chatzer is you have to rent his chelek from him. Meaning you have to go to him, sechirut. You have to tell him, his money, I want to rent your space, your area in the Chatzer. You have to buy it from him, so to speak. Now, that was a stringency that they put by Goyim. But the only way that you can carry in your Chatzer is if you buy their residency from them. Meaning you rent it. Why were they strict by a Goy? We'll see. It's not enough for the Goy to say, I renounce my residency. They have to make Sechirut. However, when it comes to a tzeduki, we're going to see in this story, it's enough for the tzeduki to say, I renounce my residency, because he's really a Jew. Jew has the ability to mevatel his reshut, but a goy, not. So now the Ban Gamliel is going to tell us a story. Maaseh, we read again, b'tzeduki achad sheyadan imanu b'mavui, b'Yerushalayim. V'amar lanu Abba, says my father told us, maharu, hurry up. Ve'otziu et hakelim demavui ad shelo yotzi v'yaser alechem. Which means they were concerned that the tzeduki, after he renounced his rights, he might change his mind. So therefore, Rabban Gamliel said, my father told us on Shabbat, hurry up, go bring out your kelim into the chatzer. Which means go show that you're making what's called hazakah. Go show that you're taking ownership or possession of the Hatzer before this guy comes along on Shabbat and says, I changed my mind. Which means Rabban Gamliel's father obviously held, once the Jews in the Hatzer actually take possession by putting their kelim in the Hatzer, that's considered like they made hazakah. That's like they took a possession, and therefore once they take possession, the tzeduki has no rights to retract. So Rabban Gamliel's father was trying to lock it in. Trying to listen, the tzeduki might come along on Shabbat and say, I changed my mind. I don't renounce my ownership. Now already they get messed up. So then when she learns, the only way that you can fix this is on Shabbat itself, the yod has to be done on Shabbat, go put your kelim in the Hatzer, because now you can carry. Because since he renounced his ownership. But do it before he backs out, because before you get your kelim in there, if he changes his mind, finish, you're stuck. So that was the advice. That's the way, that's one way that story happened. Now Rabbi Yehuda gives a different story. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bilshon Acher. Rabbi Yehuda has a different version of the story. Maharu v'asu surchechem b'mavui, ad shelo yotzi v'yaser alechem. He told them, hurry up, go do your needs in the mavui, ad shelo yotzi, until before this guy is going to take out his goods, the asir al-khemin is going to osir on you. Meaning the Buddha learns like this. That's the way the Fashim explained it. He told them, don't not only take out your stuff, he told them more than that. Asu sulkechem. This is referring to Erev Shabbat, as she says. He told us, the goy, or the tzeduki, has the right to retract at any time, according to the Buddha. Even after you make hazakah, even after you put your stuff in, he can always retract, according to this version. And therefore, he was telling them good advice. Get your needs done before he retracts. If there's stuff that you want to take out of your house or put in the mavui, do it before Shabbat. Because maybe when Shabbat comes, the tzeduki is going to retract, then you're going to be stuck. So he was just giving them practical advice. And that's why you see the difference in the Lashon and the Mishnah. The first one was Maharu Vehotsiyu et HaKelim, the Mavui. Just bring out the Kelim in the Mavui, because once you make Hazakah, he cannot retract. In the second version it says, Va'asu Surchechem b'Mavui. Not only bring out your stuff, it's not going to do anything, like a bare retraction. But just do your needs. You might want stuff outside, and on Shabbat the guy backs out, so you're stuck. So just make sure before Shabbat you take care of what you have to do. So that's the machloket in the two versions. Can the goy, can the tziduki retract after hazakah or not? The first version says he can't. Second version says he can. Therefore, etzah tova, go take out the stuff and go do your needs before. That is the Mishnah. Now we begin the Gemara. Yativ Abaye bar Abin. V'Rav Hanina bar Abin. V'yativ Abaye Gabayhu. V'yatve v'ka'amre. The rabbis were sitting in front of Abaye. And they came along and they said, Bishlama Rabbi Meir. We understand Rabbi Meir's logic. Kasabar dirat oved kochavim shema dira. He holds that the residency of a goy is halachically considered a residency. So therefore it makes sense, even if there's one Jew dwelling in the Hasid and one goy, two residents, the law is going to be, you have to deal with the goy, meaning the goy has the ability to osir the Jew, because his residence is considered a residency. Ve'lo shena had, ve'lo shena tre. Therefore, according to the Bimi, it doesn't matter if there's one Jew or there's two Jews. Ela Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, my kasabar. But according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, what does he hold? I kasabar dirat oved kuchavim shemedira. If he holds that the residency of a goy is considered a residency, afilu hadnameh nitzar. So even one goy with one Jew should be asur. The I la shemedira afilu trenameh lo nitzar. Then if he holds that it's not considered a dira, his residency is not a dira, so even two Jews with a goy should not be osir. So what is the logic basically they want to know of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? It means it's easy to understand. Dirat goy sheme dira, and therefore one goy with one Jew in a haser, they osir, and therefore you have to rent it like we'll see. But according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, what's the sevala? What does he hold? Dirat goy sheme dira? Good, so even one. Dirat goy ena dira? So even two should be mutar. Amalu abaye. Vesavar Rabbi Meir dirat akum sheme dira? That's why. Do you think you can learn Rabbi Meir like you're learning? You want to say that Rabbi Meir holds that a residency of a goy is considered a residency? That can't be. Vatanya, we learned, Hatzero shel ovde kochavim hareu kedir shel behema. The chatzer of a goy, meaning a chatzer, a courtyard where all goyim live, that has the status of a dir shel behema, a corral of animals. Which means there is no isur over there. Meaning a Jew would be allowed to go into that area and carry in that chatzer on Shabbat. A Jew that doesn't live in the chatzer, let's say. So chatzer is all of goyim. Now a Jew wants to walk into that chatzer on Shabbat and carry. He can carry from the in the chaser, you can carry from the houses into the chaser. A goy's dwelling is like a dwelling of the behemoth, and therefore it's not a residency. And who made this statement? Rabbi Meir made this statement. So therefore, clearly Rabbi Meir does not hold that a resident of a goy is considered a resident. So now we have a double question. What's the logic now of Rabbi Meir? And that's the way that she says it. She says the reason why they asked this question on the Bimi, because the Bimi actually is the author of that statement. Ela dekula alma dirat akum lo sheme dira. Really, I'll tell you, the residency of a goy is not considered a residency. Ve'acha, so what's the issue over here? Ve'gezera shema yilmod me'ma'asav kamepalge. We're concerned, the rabbis are concerned, that a Jew really not live with a goy in the same chaser. Why? Because they don't want the Jew to learn from the bad ways of the goy. So how do the rabbis deter Jews from living in the same chaser as goyim? So they come along and they're going to make it difficult to deal with them. Meaning, they're going to tell you, oh, you're living with a goy? Even though really, halachically, he shouldn't be oser you. And therefore, technically, you shouldn't have to make any adjustments before Shabbat. You can carry in the chatzer, you can carry from his house into the chatzer. Shouldn't be a problem. But you know what? We're going to make it difficult on you. And the way that she says difficult, every Shabbat, you're going to have to go and rent his property from him. Meaning, you have to go to him, listen, I have to take your property because it has to be mine over Shabbat. That's going to be a hassle. And as she's going to tell us, the goy is going to tell us that the goy is going to be hesitant to rent. You know, he backs out, he changes his mind, or he doesn't want to rent. And therefore, it's going to be very difficult for the Jew to do this process every week in order to get the... So what is the Jew end up going to do? He's going to leave. That's exactly what we want. So the rabbi specifically did this in order for Jews not to live with goyim in the chatzer. Now, when rabbis make gezerot, the rabbis usually make a gezerah in a case that is prevalent, in a scenario that is common. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is going to hold, it's usually common that two Jews would live with a goy in a chatzer, but not one. Why wasn't it common to have a chatzer of one resident of Jew, one resident of goy? Because the goyim are suspected on shefichut damim, on murder. So therefore, it's very rare you're going to have one Jew that's going to live alone in a chatzer with a goy. So therefore, the rabbis did not make this gezerah in a case that is not prevalent. Meaning, if you have a case where one Jew is with a goy in the chatzer, the Bilal Ezra Yaakov says that goy is not going to osir the Jew. But you might come to learn from him. Yeah, but since it's not so common, we didn't make a gezerah in that case. What's the common case where goyim live with Jews? Well, at least there's two Jews or more, and they goy. So that's the Bilal Ezra's logic. The gezerah was only made in the prevalent case, and we don't make a gezerah in the non-prevalent case. Whereas Rabbi Meir, who normally throughout Shas is Hoshesh Lemi'utah, Rabbi Meir always suspects to the minority. So even though it's not so prevalent for even one Jew to live with a goy, still we'll make a gezerah in that case that the goy is osir the Jew. Clear? Well, let's read that inside now. Gemara says, "B'shema yilmod mema'asav kamepalge." Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Savar, Kevan de Oved Kochavim Hashud Ashvichud Damim. Since the goy is suspicious to murder, Tre Dishchihi de Dairi, two Jews that live with a goy, two Jews, at least they're protected a little. So that's a common case. Dishchihi, it's common, it's prevalent. Gazru Behu. So the rabbis made a gizara that the goy is going to be Osir, the Jew. Had Lo Shchiyach. But one Jew living with a goy in a chatzer, lo gazu berabana. The Rabbi Meir sabar, zimnin de makre v'dayar. Sometimes it happens even one Jew will live in a chatzer with a goy. So therefore we make a gezerah even in that case. The Gemara continues to explain. V'amru rabbanan, en iruv mo'il bimkom akum. Meaning the way Tosfot learns this statement is, and the rabbis came along and said, iruv will not work. Which means they don't want to make it easy for you. They don't allow you to take some bread and go put it in the homes over there. Ve'en bitul reshut mo'il bimkom akum. Nor is the goy able to renounce his residency. It'll be easy. I tell the goy every week just to renounce your residency. And like, no. Ad shi yaskir. You can't get him out of the chatzer until you actually rent his spot. Now by renting his spot, it makes it all yours. So the Gemara says one thing about the goyim, ve'akum lo mugar, but the goy does not rent so fast. You're not renting, my ta'ama. So we'll see that in a moment. So therefore, again, the issue is over here that he's not going to rent. Meaning, he's not going to make it so easy. The way that she says, if you want to look at that she says, lo yeherosel lehaskir, he's not going to want to rent. Ve'yitzei Yisrael zem misham. And then the Jew is going to end up getting fed up and leave. And the way that she says in the earlier place is that every week he's going to have to rent it from him, every Shabbat. Why? Because the goy during the week is going to back out. Yeah, I changed my mind. So every week it's going to be a whole process. All right, rent me, yeah. And then during the week, I changed my mind. So therefore, the Torah for the Jew, he's going to end up leaving. Now the Geon Yaakov asks an obvious question. The whole thing is you don't want Jews to live with Goyim. That's the underlying fact over here. Just make a gezerah. A Jew can't live with a Goyim, a Hasid. Now, what do you have to make a whole thing, you know, go around the thing here? Hey, if Hatser, he's Oser, or the Haskir, just say very simple. Gezerah. Can't live with Goyim. So the Gaon Yaakov says that's too resh. Because there are certain situations where a guy needs to live somewhere, even if it'll be a temporary situation, so he's got to live. So we can tell the guy the housing issues now. You tell the guy you can't live in this case over there. So that would be like a gizera. That would be too strict or too hard for the people to follow. There's a whole discussion if this law has application today. Because today, we live amongst the goyim already. Which means, today there's goyim all over the place. Just like there's a law in Shulchan Aruch, the Geber, charging interest. HaTorah says you're allowed to charge interest to the goy. But the halakha brings down that you shouldn't charge interest to the goy because we don't want you to have dealings with him. When you start charging interest with him, you have to transact with him. Once you transact with him, you might learn from his ways. Shulchan Aruch rules that law doesn't apply today. Because anyway, we're transacting with them all day long. So we can make, no, that's not the point that they're charging us interest. We know they're charging us interest. But the point is we don't want to get involved with them because you're going to learn from them. So therefore, don't do it. But the halakha says today, it changed. Because today, all transactions with goyim, if you're not going to transact with goyim in business, you're not going to make business. So therefore, it could be that this also changed. You'll say, listen, that was talking about in those days where they lived solely with Jews without the goyim. But today, we're living with goyim all around us. So what are you going to say? That the Hatzir is going to say, you shema yilmod b'ma'asav, they're all over the place. So therefore, some want to say that this law has no application. However, the Hatam Sofer has his teshuvot. He says, apis manenu, where the Gezerah really shouldn't apply, lo ne'akra takana. The takana was not uprooted based on a principle that says that anything that was decided by the Hakamim b'minyan, so you need the same caliber Hakamim and the same group to come back and override it. Huh? It doesn't only say that we're worried about you're going to learn from Abu Dazara. They don't make that hiluk, that you might only learn idolatry from them. The whole practice you might learn from them. Now, okay, Gemara continues. Gemara says, the akum lo mugar, right? The goy is not so thrilled to rent out his property. So Gemara says, my tama, why not? Why wouldn't the goy want to rent his property to the Jew? Because maybe the goy is scared. The Jew is gonna take his property. Meaning he's gonna move into his property and make hazakan his property now. And the goy is gonna, he's gonna lose out. He's gonna rent his property, start moving out all his goods, all his furniture into the Hatzer now, and then the goy loses his rights. So he says, hold it. Now we have to discuss what type of renting. There's different type of renting. There's formal renting, which we'll call sechirut biri'ah. Literally means healthy renting, where it's a legitimate, full-fledged renting. And then you have what's called sechirut ri'ah, which means it's symbolic renting. Where you're just transferring money, but you really don't, have so much rights. You're not going to start putting your stuff in the chassid, and it's just more symbolic. So it all depends what type of renting we're talking about. If you say that the renting that we're talking about over has to be legitimate renting, sechirut biri'ah, we understand why the goy is scared. Because all of a sudden now, you're going to take his whole rights in the chassid, you're moving in your couches and your chairs and all that stuff, your benches. Now the goy loses his rights. That we understand why the goy might be a little cautious. However, but if you're learning that the sechirut, it's just symbolic sechirut. So therefore, what's the goy worried about? And the Gemara explains. The itmar, we have a statement. Rav Chisda Amar. Rav Chisda said sechirut b'di'ah. Rav Chisda holds it has to be legitimate sechirut. The Rav Sheshat Amar sechirut ri'ah. And if the judge says, no, it could be even a symbolic, weak sechirut. So Gemara explains, my ri'ah, my bidi'ah. Well, what exactly makes the sechirut healthy and what makes it weak? So Gemara says, either my bidi'ah bifruta. If you can tell me, bidi'ah means you're actually renting it and you're making the giving the goy a shave peruta, meaning you're giving him at least a peruta's worth, meaning that's kesef, that's already considered money. However, the ro'ah pachot shave peruta, and the ro'ah means that you're giving the goy half a peruta, meaning you're just giving him some money, but not really so much money. So Gemara says, mi'ika leman da'amar, me'akum b'fachot m'shave peruta, lo? Which means, what do you think? You think that a goy, to make a transaction, you think it has to be a peruta? No, for goyim, half a peruta is like a peruta. And therefore, that would not be considered ri'wah. I mean, maybe for Jews, you need shaveh peruta, whatever that minimum is. It's a quarter, a dollar, whatever the point is, but it's a minimum shi'ud. For goyim, there's no difference between a peruta and a shaveh peruta. And therefore, if you're telling me it's the price would not make it sechirut b'ri'ah or ri'u'ah. Even a shaveh even pachot m'shaveh peruta would be considered sechirut b'ri'ah. Now, how do you know by a goy there's no difference in a peruta and a less than shaveh peruta? So the Gemara says, "Veha shalach Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yaakov bar Giyure mishemed Rabbi Yohanan hevu yodim." He said, "You should know." Shesochrim min ha'akum afidu b'fachot m'shaveh peruta. That when you come to renting some goyim, it's a kinyan, it's an acquisition, even if you give them less than shaveh peruta. Why? Ve'amar Rabbi Chaya bar Abba Rabbi Yohanan ben Noach neherag al pachot m'shaveh peruta velo nitan lehishavon. A ben Noah goy has seven mitzvot. One of the seven mitzvot is lo tignov. He cannot steal. How much does a goy steal to be hayav? So the Gemara says, even if he steals, pachot meshaveh peruta is hayav. What is he hayav? Hayav mita. The seven mitzvot of the goyim, well, they only have seven, but they hayav mita on all of them. And therefore, if a goy steals even less than a shaveh peruta, you kill him for that. V'lo nitan lehishavon. Meaning, there is no fixing it. Which means normally if a Jew steals, what do we say? V'yashiv. He returns it. He's off the hook. He might have to return double. But there's a way to repair it. A goy, lo nitan lehishavon. There is no returning it. Once you steal, I want to return, I want to give it back. Too late. Hayav mita. And what's the shiur even? Ba'al meshaveh peruta. Now what's the logic? What's the logic why a goy is hayav mita if he steals pach meshaveh peruta? So Rashi says, look at Rashi, Dibura Mathil, ben Noach neherag ala gezel, dihi mizayin mitzvot, kedamar bedalet mitot besanedrin, deamar, azhara shirahen, zoi mitatan. Finished. Once they get warned, their warning is their death. Vashmi'ina Rabbi Yohanan, deakum lo machil afilu apachot meshaveh peruta. The rationale is that a goy, to him, a pachot meshaveh peruta is substantial. He's not mohel on a pachot meshaveh peruta. Therefore, from Rashi, it's mashma, only a goy that steals from a goy. That, Sevara will tell us what, you kill him. Because to the goy that got stolen from, he's not mohel, it's substantial to him. But according to Rashi, if a goy steals from a Jew, pachot meshaveh peruta, to the Jew, pachot meshaveh peruta is not an issue. Return it. There's no hayu mita on that. That's the way they explain shitat Rashi. In any event, you see what? That for a goy, pachot meshaveh peruta is substantial. Now, that's the way that she learns. Now, on this subject of lo nitan lehishavon, look at the way that she learns lo nitan lehishavon. Degabe yisay ketiv v'yashiv et gezela. By a Jew, he can return. El aval be'akum lo ketiv ha'shava. Hilkach kevan sha'avar ne'erag v'enam shalem. She's according to that she, the hishavon is giving you the reason why you kill him. If he would be able to return it, so then already, you don't kill him, let him fix it. Since there's no hishavon, no way to fix it, so he dies. So that she's linking the lo nitan lehishavon to the neherag. Tosfot doesn't. Tosfot looks a little differently. That would be the Tosafot, exactly, ben Noah. So that Tosafot, he says that what? Besides the fact that the goy is neherag, the chidush is that he's not obligated to return the object. Which means that for that matter, Tosfot says, he stole something from a Yisrael. That even, let's say, pahot meshaveh peruta, that he's not obligated to return it, because the Jew is mohel. Different item. We're killing the goy because we killed the goy. Chidush, but if a goy steals a pahot meshaveh peruta from a Yisrael, he doesn't have to return it either. Because to a Jew, pahot meshaveh peruta is not substantial. So he doesn't link the hishavon to the mitah like the Rashi does. In any event, that is the Gemara's question. What is Sechirut Biri'ah? And what is Sechirut Re'u'ah? Don't tell me it's Paveh Perutah, Pahom Meshaveh Perutah, because to a goy, even Pahom Meshaveh Perutah is important. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to give a new answer. Gemara says, Ela Biri'ah B'muharke ve'aburgane. You know what Biri'ah is? Muharke ve'aburgane. Rashi says, what does that mean? Lemalot ha'hasir be'safsalim ve'katedraot emiritzeh. Which means, you're telling the goy, I'm renting this to you, with rights, that I'm going to fill up the hatzir with chairs and couches and benches. That's already full-fledged. It's not symbolic. We're just telling the guy, I just need you, probably we're not going to use it. Don't worry about it. You're telling the guy, no, I'm using it. Now the guy gets scared. He says, oh, the guy's going to start putting all the stuff in there. I'm going to lose my rights. When it says, that means where you're not asking to put anything in the chatzir to take up his space. You're just asking him for, like I said, symbolically, just to have some, it's for the halakha of it. Also, we're back to the question then. According to the opinion that says it's sechirut biri'ah, I understand why the goy is hesitant to rent. But if you say it's sechirut biri'ah, what does the goy care? So the Gemara says that. Hani halimad amar sechirut biri'ah. Ba'inan, good. The coin dependent says you need sechirut biri'ah, I understand. And the amar amar sechirut biri'ah ba'inan, but the coin dependent says it's sechirut biri'ah, ma'ika lememar. Gemara says, afilu hachi hashish akum lekeshafim. The goy is concerned about witchcraft, v'lo mugar, and therefore he's not going to rent. What does it mean he's concerned about witchcraft? Where's the witchcraft over here? So the Mefashim explained, Rabbi Yonatan explains, that the goy doesn't understand why the Jew is insisting to pay. See, sometimes the goy will say, listen, take it b'matana. Yeah, if all symbolic. It is over here is symbolic, I give it to you b'matana. But it's not enough to talk about matana. The halakha says you actually have to give money. So therefore, if you're going to give money, why does he want to pay? Must be there's some type of black magic going on over here that he's putting some type of spell on me. So therefore, the goy, since he doesn't understand the halakha of it, the process of it, so that's why he'd be hesitant. Even on a sechirut re'u'ah, he's concerned the gaber keshafim. Good. Comes the Gemara and continues. Gufa. The Gemara says, Hatzir, it's a braita. Hatziro shel oved kochavim, the hatzir of a goy. Hareu kedir shel behema, it has the status of a stable of animals. Meaning, the entire hatzir is made up of goyim. Therefore, it is permissible for a Jew who comes in from the outside to carry in that hatzir. Meaning, the dwellings of the goyim are not osir, carrying in the hasir at all. Therefore, umutar lachnis ulutzi. Therefore, it'd be permissible to take in and take out min hasir lebatim, umit batim the hasir. You can go from the hasir to the houses, and from the houses to the hasir. However, v'im yesham Yisrael echad, even if there's only one Jew resident in the hasir, osir, meaning he has the ability to osir. Now, what are we saying osir? The Gemara is going to explain. It will be forbidden to go into the goy's house. Then you cannot go into the goy's house, but the implication is it would still be permissible for the Jew to go into the hatzir. Gemara will analyze that in a moment. Like we learned earlier, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion is only if you have two Jews residing in the hatzir, then it becomes forbidden to the Jew to go into the goy's house and take out. Now the Gemara analyzes. Amar mor hatziro shel akum arehu kedir shel behema. No, we said that what? That the chatzir of a goy has the status of a
stable, and therefore it is permissible for a Jew to go in and carry even into the goy's house, from the goy's house to the chatzir. Mm-hmm. However, if there's a Jew there, then it is forbidden to go into the goy's house. His house becomes forbidden, but implying that the chatzir itself from the Jew's house is permissible. So to that, the Gemara says, what do you mean? But we learned in the Mishnah, hadari ma'akum ba'chatzir. If you're living in the chatzir with the goy, harizeh osir alav. The goy is osir him. Meaning he cannot even go out from his house into the chatzir. But from the braita, it's mashma, he can. Gemara's answer, like asha, hadi'iteh, hadi'leteh. It depends. If the goy is actually residing there, then you're right. Then it's forbidden even to go from the bayit of the Jew into the chatzir. I mean, the goy is osir him. However, if the goy is not residing there, then it is permissible to go from the bayit. I mean, the goy is only osir the Jew if he's there. But if he's not there, it is like permissible. Table. So we make a chiluk by a goy if he's there or not. So to that, the Gemara says, Umay kasabar. What exactly are we holding over here? I kasabar dira belo balim shemedira. If you're saying that a dwelling, even though the resident is not there, is still considered a dwelling, afilu akum namen nitzar. Meaning, even if the goy is not there, it still should be forbidden for the Jew to carry in the chatzir from his house. Because, bottom line, if he's not there and you're still considering the dwelling, still should be azur. Now, v'ika sabar dira belo ba'alim lo shemedira. And if you're saying that what? That a dwelling, when the guy's not there, is not considered a dwelling, afilu Yisrael nameh lo netzar. Then, when the Jew is not there, which means, let's say, the Jew went away, where if you are implying, you're telling me above, that when the Jew's not there, it's still going to be forbidden for another Jew to walk in and carry in that chatzer. So what do you mean? Why should that be asur? If it's not considered a dwelling, so now it should be mutar when the Jew comes in, there's only a goy there. Goy is mutar. It's like chatzer shel goy. Why then did you imply above that if the Jew is not there, it's still forbidden? To that, the Gemara answers, Le'olam kasaba dira belo balim lo shemedira. Really, I'll tell you, you know what? It's really when the guy's not there, whether it's a Jew or a goy, technically it should not be considered a dira. Oh, so then why are we mahmir? Because for Yisrael, dechi ite asar. Because if the Jew is there, meaning he's in the house itself, he has the ability to be osir. As we know, when the Jew is there himself, no. So then his residency is a residency. So therefore, kilete, when he's not there, gazu berabanan. So the rabbis made a gezerah, when he's not there, atu when he is there. Because when he's there, it's asumen adin. Meaning because the Jew's residency is considered residency. Okay. And therefore he has the ability to be osir the other people in the chatzir and the metes. Even when he's not there, when he went away, hakimim say, a Jew cannot walk into that chatzir. Because it's the Jew's house. However, akum, the goy dechi ite, even if he's there, gezerah shema yilmad b'ma'asav. When the goy's in his house, it's not even a residency. The only reason why we say that he does any type of restrictions is gezerah, because you might come to learn from his way. So therefore, we put a restriction that he's osir you, and therefore you have to buy him out, and he's not going to want to be bought out. Therefore, you'll end up coming to leave the chatzir. So even when he's living there, his restriction is only a gezerah. So ki ite asar, I'll only make the gezerah when he's there. However, ki lete lo asar, but when he's not there, I'm not going to make it. So therefore, comes out there's a leniency by a goy when he's not there over a Jew when he's not there. Meaning, when the Jew is not there, doesn't matter. Still, it's forbidden to carry in the chatzir. The rabbis made a gezerah, whether he's there or whether he's not there. However, a goy, when he's there, it's forbidden for the Jew to carry in the chatzir from his house. However, when he's not there, it'll be permissible. V'chi leta lo asar? Oh, you're telling me when the goy's not there,
He's not Oser. But you just know when the goy leaves, so they're ready. Hakem didn't make the gizera. You can go from the house to the chatzir. Is that so? Batenan, we learned. Hameniach et beto. Guy left his house. A goy. Vehalach lo lishbot b'ir acheret. And he went, before Shabbat, he went to live in a different city. Ehad nochri. Okay, there's the question, whether it's a goy. Vehad Yisrael, for that matter, it's a Jew. Osir. He's still osir on the rest of the b'nei chatzir. They didn't make a eruv with the guy. The goy packed out before Shabbat, I'm leaving. They didn't rent his property, do nothing. According to what we're learning now, if he left, mutar. The Bimi'ir himself, the author of this Mishnah, says, Asur. What do you mean Asur? I thought you said if he leaves,
mutar.
Ah, that's the answer. So the Gemara says, Hatam, da'ate biyomer. Very good, Joe. There, he's not going so far. So what's the problem? You're worried that he might come back on Shabbat. So what's the problem if he comes on Shabbat? Carry until he comes back. No. You're not going to know he came back. And then we're going to be in the middle of carrying, and then you're going to notice that the guy came back. So Rabbi says, you know what? He's going to come back that day. Therefore, it is forbidden. Now, comes the Gemara and continues. Now the Gemara is very, very, very fast to the end. Now the Gemara is just going to discuss halakha. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Halakha could be the Ezra ben Yaakov. Which means two Jews, one goy. That's the deen. And what does halakha mean? You announce it in public. Meaning in the shiur, you get up and say, halakha could be the Ezra ben Yaakov. V'ravuna amar minhag. He says, no. You don't get up in public and announce halakha could be Ezra ben Yaakov, but if somebody comes and asks you, you tell them, minhag is the Ezra ben Yaakov, two Jews, one goy. Minhag could be the Ezra ben Yaakov. V'rav Yohanan amar, nehagu am could be the Ezra ben Yaakov. That's a third level. It means you don't announce it in the shiur, and even if somebody asks you, you don't tell him. You don't tell him about Chazik Ben Ezra Yaakov. But if he's doing it, leave him alone. So there's halakha, minhag, and nahagu. Halakha, you publicize it, because it's really a leniency. It's a leniency to the fact that if a goy and a Jew live alone, you don't have to do anything. The goy's not osir. According to Ezra Ben Yaakov, the goy's only osir when there's two Jews. But if there's one Jew, one goy, don't do nothing. So we're being lenient. So the first rabbi says, announce it. Halakha, Rabbi Ezra ben Yaakov, only till you have two Jews and one goy. The second rabbi comes up and says, no. Don't announce it in public. If a guy comes and asks you privately, he can give it to Rabbi Ezra ben Yaakov. Minhag. Third answer, nahagu. Which means, don't announce it. If a guy comes and asks you, don't even tell him, you can go like Rabbi Ezra ben Yaakov. But if a guy's doing it, close your eyes, you can be lenient. So the Gemara says, Amale Abayir Rabbi Yosef. Abayir tells Rabbi Yosef. Kaimalan, we have a rule. Mishnat Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Kav Venaki. Famous rule in Shas. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's rulings are Kav. Kav is a small measurement, meaning they're far and wide, meaning we don't have too many statements of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in Mishnayot. It's Kav. It's a small measurement, but what? When he says statements, they're Naki. They're clean. Meaning, we always are going to posek like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in Mishnah. That's what Rashi's rule. Again, Mishnato, Kav, Vinaki. Kav, it's in measure, but clean. Now that's a principle. It says it like this. V'amari v'damar Shmuel, and if we not say the name of Shmuel, halakha could be Ezra ben Yaakov. Good. So now the question is like this in the Gemara. Mahu, this is Abaye telling Rabbi Yosef, Mahu le'eruye b'mkom rabbo. Can you give this halakha in front of your rabbi? Meaning we know there's a halakha that says you're not allowed to give a psak halakha in front of your rabbi. That she says it's a nyan of chutzpah. It's a nyan of arrogance. In front of your rabbi, you're going to say the halakha? That is an interesting tosfot, the Masechet Ketubot, that gives a different reason why it's forbidden to give a ruling of halakha in front of your rabbi. He says, not because of the chutzpah aspect of it, he says because when you give a halakha in front of your rabbi, if your rabbi is there, the student will not have si'ata d'shmaya. You're not going to have aid from heaven to come out with the right halakha. Therefore, you need si'ata d'shmaya to come out with the proper halakha. When the rabbi is there and you're saying it in front of him, there's no si'ata d'shmaya. Let the rabbi answer. The point is, such an easy statement that halakha could have been Eliezer ben Yaakov. That's a fact. It's not a sivara.
You're not saying anything deep. You're just saying a principle. Is that also subject to the law of, that you can't say it in front of your rabbi? Which means if somebody comes to you standing in front of your rabbi, what's the deen, the gaber, the be'ezer, Yaakov, Mishnayot? Can you say in front of your rabbi, Mishnato, Kavanaki, Halakha, Gebe'ezer? Since that's not a deep, it's a straightforward klal. Maybe the only time they said it's forbidden to say Halakha in front of your rabbi, we have to have sivara and logic and theory and all that. But when it's just it's a quick halakha, everybody knows, Mishnato, Kavanaki, maybe that's not subject to the law of More Halakha. So that was the question Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef. Amale, he told him, Afilu bi'ata bekutha. Even the simple question of, is an egg permissible to be eaten with yogurt? Now, an egg is an egg. Why should an egg be forbidden? Because some might argue and say, well, an egg maybe is meat. Because from the egg comes the chicken. And we know the rabbis will serve chicken with milk. So a simple question, you go ask a rabbi. Rabbi, can I eat not regular egg with some yogurt? That's the question. You know, a regular egg, it's not meat. That's the Gemara's famous example of an easy question is bi'ata bi'kutha. Could you eat an egg with kutha? So Yosef says, even such a simple question like bi'ata bi'kutha, ba'u mine merav hezda kol shane derav huna. Rabbi Yosef says, I asked this question to Rav Hizda all the years that his rabbi Rav Huna was alive, velo ore, and he wouldn't give a ruling on it. Which means Rabbi Yosef says, I was testing Rav Hizda. I would ask him the easiest question. A rabbi, what's the law? Can I eat an egg with yogurt? Out of it. I mean, I'm an artist, knows this. And Rav Hizda said, I can't give a ruling. Even though it's such a simple, why? Because his rabbi Rav Huna was alive. So what do you see?
No.
Any halakha, even if it's bi'ata bi'kutha, you cannot say in front of the rabbi. Amale Rabbi Yaakov Rabbal Abaye. Kegon Megillat Ta'anit. What about the information that's written in Megillat Ta'anit? Dikhtiva, that's written Umanha. What's Megillat Ta'anit? There's a certain book that they had in the old days, that in the book it listed all the days that it's forbidden to fast and eulogize. Now, I want you to know, that was the only book that was around. Everything was Torah Sheba Al Peh. There was no such thing as anything written. The only written book was Megillat Ta'anit. So therefore the Gemara is saying, I understand you can't give rulings on Torah Sheba Al Peh because it's by heart, it's Hiddush, but this is a written book. So yeah, you're not saying anything Hiddush. You go open the book yourself. So could you give a ruling, for example, could you go in front of the rabbi and say, it's forbidden to fast on Hanukkah? That's one of the laws that are written in Megillat Ta'anit. Could you say it in front of the rabbi? What's the logic? Why, how could you say such a thing? Well, it's in the book. Everybody can open up and read it. Maybe that's already considered okay. He answered him. Can you answer it in the place of your rabbi? Amar le. He answered him back. Who's asking the question? Rabbi Yaakov and Abba is asking Abaye. So Abaye says, he says, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef told me, Afilu bi'ata bi'kutha. He says, Rav Yosef told me that he even used to ask Rav Chizda about the egg and the milk when Rav Huna was alive, and still he did not answer. So you see, even something that is basic and simple. Now, it should be pointed out in conclusion, we're only talking about over here, we're in a case where somebody's coming to ask a question. Meaning, if it's in the learning, and you're discussing the halakha amongst the rabbi and the student, then already you can discuss, I think it's this, I heard that. We're talking about where somebody's coming to ask a she'ilah. So the question is halakha al-ma'aseh. In the limud, you can open up and analyze and go back and forth. But if somebody's coming to ask a question, the student goes in front of the rabbi and says, mutar. That's where you have to go. To go to the rabbi, go call the rabbi. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, even on something that is so simple, like bi'ata bi'kutha, when it's being asked halakha l'ma'aseh, and already one has to defer to the hacham. Baruch Hashem le'olam. Amen.